What's in a name? Well, some people reckon there may be more to it than you might think. Let me explain. With me, Emma Tyrrell.
Let me explain. With Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Have you ever heard the term nominative determinism? No? Granted, it is a bit of a mouthful. What if I said to you there's a poker player named Chris Moneymaker? Emer Flood, a meteorologist with Met Aaron? A banker called Rich Ritchie. Do you see where I'm going here? Have you ever heard of the 19th century plumber who went by the name Thomas Crapper? Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland? My personal favourite is a policeman in the UK called PC Rob Banks. There's also this guy.
Going very near comes Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt storming through. He takes it again. Blake gets the silver. 9.64. Usain Bolt of Jamaica is the fastest man on the planet.
You've got the idea. The term nominative determinism was first popularised back in 1994 by the magazine New Scientist after its humorous feedback column noted several studies that had been carried out by researchers with remarkably fitting surnames. There was a book about the polar regions by a man called Daniel Snowman and another about underground developments in London, one of the authors of which is Richard Trench. The theory is that people are drawn to jobs or hobbies that match their names, like Gillian Bird.
My name is Gillian Bird and I work for the DSPCA, which is the Dublin Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. It was absolute hilarity in school, my classmates, when, you know, oh, the Bird family, they've got chicken pox. Yeah, that was a great laugh. And my dad would probably kill me for saying it, but his name is Richard, so he was always called Dickie Bird in school.
Leslie Shoemaker is a counselling psychologist and lecturer at TU Dublin. Shoemaker, you don't make shoes?
No, but I have a really bad habit of buying a lot of shoes. I'm currently on an embargo, self-imposed.
So it does kind of play into the name then?
It does. My sister and I are very faithful to that shoe habit. Both of us are. And I love when I pull out my debit card to pay and everybody sees the name Shoemaker and they just look at me and they're like, no. And I'm like, oh yeah.
One possible explanation for the phenomenon is implicit egotism, where people gravitate toward people, places and things that resemble themselves. For example, we tend to prefer the letters in our name and the numbers in our birth date. So, EMMA, the 16th of the 6th. Okay, that makes sense. I like even numbers and both my kids' names end in the A sound, something I've just realised, right? So think about it. You're writing your name and date of birth thousands of times in your lifetime, so you're pretty familiar with the letters and dates. And research shows the more familiar something is, the more we like it.
This type of implicit egotism is about saying that we're unconsciously attracted to things which relate to ourselves. So, for example, my birthday is April 26, 1968. Yes, I've just outed my age. And I love the numbers 2, 4 and 6. And I never really thought about why I like those numbers. And I've always liked those numbers since I was a kid. Looking up this stuff, I just went, oh, God, yeah, I'm it. I have been unconsciously attracted to those numbers because of my birthday. Because when we're kids, we love our birthdays. Lots of presents, cake, get a fuss made about you.
There's been plenty of research on the topic over the years, including some by four doctors, all with the surname Lim, that looked at the idea from a medical point of view.
And they went through the register, this was in the UK, of doctors looking at doctors but also their specialties. And they discovered, statistically speaking, there was a high number of doctors whose surnames were related to medicine. But then when they started looking at the subspecialties, they discovered there was also, it was an above average statistical anomaly, quirk, I guess, that we had these names like Dr. Gore and Dr. Butcher. Not sure that's who I really want to see if I was getting regular, straightforward surgery, by the way.
James Lawless is a TD for North Kildare. He's chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee and a lawyer.
So I am a lawyer. I studied law and I am a legislator. I make law. So there's definitely lots of law in my life.
it could have been preordained for me without me even knowing. I mean, I guess that's a theory. I hadn't really thought about it before, but it's possible. You know, it's certainly possible. There's four in my family in terms of it, three siblings, and two of the four of us are lawyers. I have two children. One of the two is going to be a lawyer. And we're all lawnesses. So maybe there is something to your theory.
I've always loved animals. I've always had them. We always had a few pets as kids growing up. My parents were quite restrictive on what we would have been allowed to own. I would have loved to have had a pony. I always thought it was funny that I never really knew about the DSPCA when I was a kid growing up, but that was probably because they knew I'd just take everything home with me. So yeah, I don't know. It was funny because when I did start working here first, a lot of my friends said to me, "Oh, sure, you knew that. You were always going to work with animals. We knew you loved animals, you know, but..." Yeah, it's a weird one.
But it's never something that I would ever think of or that I would ever be aware of until someone occasionally says it. And they might just say, "Oh, Lawless, you're..." Actually, sometimes in political, I'm going to say banter, but actually political debate or sometimes the online sewer, which can be sometimes, people might say, "Oh, Lawless, typical TD," you know, this kind of stuff. So there's a bit of that, but I'd say it's like less than 1% of my interactions.
People whose names seem to fit nicely with their careers, have they a heightened awareness of others like them? Is it one big club that the rest of us just don't know about?
I do know quite a few people who do end up in careers that are like it. Like, we have Alorna Swift, who works at our call centre, so she coordinates all the calls that come in. I did work with a lamb at one point, who was also working with the animals here. So yeah, it does seem to happen. Of course, you've got Niall Hatch, who works at Birdwatch Ireland. You've got, you know, lots of people like that, and I do think it's always interesting. I don't know whether it's something you end up going to match your name, or is it just because people kind of comment and realise and it makes a bit of sense that you have a name that matches your career?
People have the names like Baker and Butcher and Smith, but I think I suppose looking at them, it probably looks like, you know, they're following their family name or occupation rather than them going into that area.
Yeah, but I love the people who think of this research, because I would never imagine to do this. They went and they looked at people with the surname Taylor, and they discovered that all these hundreds of years later, even though they're not Taylors, they have above average dexterity. Smiths, which would be related to Smithies, they have above average muscle strength and different things like that related back to profession, even though they have nothing to do with it in our current generation.
Having a standout name can be a help or a hindrance. Deputy Lawless says he and his family have been looking into the origins of the Lawless name.
Another sister of mine did a small bit of research into it, and she found that it came from sort of, I think, 14th or 15th century, that Lawless, you know, you would think is an outlaw, and that's sort of where it often came from, band of outlaws. But there was a counter theory that it was actually people who were quite law-abiding, and it was sort of said to them in irony, "Oh, well, you're Lawless," because, you know, it was so ironic that they wouldn't actually be breaking the law. So there's been a bit of both sides passed around, but my sisters and I prefer the outlaw version. I think it has a bit more colour.
Some of your favourite examples of nominative determinism?
Mary Berry. It's so straightforward and so simple, but I mean, she's a fantastic cook. But I think my absolute favourite, in 1919, there was a practice with two solicitors set up in Sligo, who, by the way, had their office across from the courthouse in Sligo, and their surnames were Argue and Phibbs. Perfect. That's the firm I'd be booking.
I'll leave the last word to the expert. Leslie Shoemaker reckons the more we learn about the brain, the more of the answers we'll find.
The research that's around, like, unconscious bias, implicit bias, all these types of things, we're looking at neurology now. We're finally getting the technology to start looking at this. The reality is the brain takes shortcuts. The brain's kind of lazy in that respect. So if your name relates to your profession, perhaps there is a link.
So there you have it. Nominative determinism. A funny quirk or the real deal. I'll let you decide. That's it from me, Emma Tyrrell. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Let Me Explain. Thanks to series editor John Kyo and Lachlan Hart, who was on sound. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.